The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
Indeed, they are. And the Democrats are currently involved in a criminal operation of their own. We'll be looking at that today, among other things, on this Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you, your sometimes humble host for this hour of insight, observation, and absurdity. And I hope that you are doing well and that so far your day, wherever or whenever that day may be, is going quite well. This is the Thursday edition of the program. We are on Facebook Live this morning. If you're with us on Facebook Live, greetings and salutations. Good to have you there. If you're listening at a later time via podcast, well, you're appreciated as well. Thank you very much for being there. It is, it has been an interesting 24 hours for yours truly. I've just had these little side projects I've been working on. I keep getting sucked into this. By the way, this podcast is not my entire life, and it shouldn't be your entire life, and being addicted to politics and the news and the like shouldn't be your entire life. Don't let it consume you. Live. Have a life. So outside of the podcast, there are other things in my life that go on. I do spend a great deal of time scanning the news because I'm a news junkie, but I also work on other things in life, and yesterday I spent a good chunk of time frustrated working on that little old car I've told you about. At one point I was seriously considering just putting it on eBay and getting rid of it because it's just, it was very frustrating, but everything came out well in the end, so to speak. I'm still not 100% satisfied with the project I was working on, but it will do. That'll do, pig. But that's the way my day yesterday was spent. It got to the point, I know you have had this kind of a day too, where you have been sucked into a project and then you look at your watch or you look at the clock on the wall and realize you have spent most of your day pulled into something that has kept you frustrated. That's how it was for me late yesterday before my wife got home. Oh my gosh. Anyway, that was my day yesterday, and I hope your day was better than mine. And I hope your day, I almost said, I hope your day went better than the President's Day yesterday. But I don't think I can say that, and I'll explain that in just a couple of minutes. Yesterday morning, there was supposed to be a meeting about infrastructure between the Democrat leaders and President Donald Trump. Now, we've talked about the infrastructure proposals before, and that President Trump had gone ahead and signed on to a proposal made by the Democrats. And I said that when they get down to brass tacks and they are talking about funding and the like, everything's going to come to a screeching halt because he will demand cuts in order to pay for what they want to do. They want to spend a lot of money. Well, it never even came to that because the Democrats are in the middle of their own bizarre, twisted little campaign to destroy the president. And before this infrastructure meeting yesterday morning, there was a caucus meeting with Nancy Pelosi and her caucus. She described it as being a good meeting, but she came out of the meeting and stood before TV cameras and said to the nation and to the world that the President of the United States is involved in a cover-up. A cover-up. And then she also said the same thing, speaking to a left-leaning audience. She said that President Trump may have committed an impeachable offense, ratcheting up her warnings to the White House, even as she and her deputies try to tamp down calls from the rank and file to press forward on impeachment now. You see, what Nancy Pelosi is doing is pretending to be the voice of reason in the Democrat Party, but it's all pretense. She is just as committed to impeachment as all of the rabid wolves in her party are, but she has to play a part. She is playing a role to deceive the nation into believing that she is the older, wiser leader of the party and is trying to keep all of the hounds at bay. Well, she was speaking at the Center for American Progress 2019 Ideas Conference in Washington, D.C. Understand, the Center for American Progress is not just a left-leaning organization. It is a radical left organization funded by George Soros. She, there at this conference, speaking there, outlined a potential path to impeachment. Moments after a contentious meeting at the White House ended with Trump departing for the Rose Garden to publicly accuse Democrats of a presidential takedown. She told the audience, "The fact is, in plain sight, in the public domain, this president is obstructing justice and he's engaged in a cover-up. And that would be an impeachable offense." And the audience broke out in applause. She goes on to say, "Ignoring the subpoenas of Congress was Article 3 of the Nixon impeachment. So it's not just the substance that we're after, that we want to have to get the truth to the American people. Yeah, it's all for you. That's what she's doing it for, right? You believe that, don't you? But in striving to get that, the intervention, the obstruction that the administration is engaged in, as they say, the cover-up is frequently worse than the crime." Just to be clear, what she's talking about is the legal refusal of certain members of the president's team to sit in front of their little kangaroo court and testify when they've already on the record committed to many, many hours, each one of them, many hours of interrogation and interview by the Mueller team. They've already done this. What's happening is that the Democrat Party, this committee that they have formed, is unhappy with the outcome of the Mueller report. They bet everything on the Mueller report. They put everything on the Mueller report producing impeachable results. They bet the farm on the Mueller report outcome. And it didn't turn out that way. It came out no collusion, and they couldn't make a judgment on obstruction, one, because it wasn't their job to, and two, because the evidence wasn't there. Oh, and three, there was no crime to investigate. The crime, we're learning, was on the part of the Democrat Party and the Hillary Clinton campaign. So this is what she's referring to. They're not cooperating. She also said the Republicans and the president are not committed to protecting the Constitution. Now, when a Democrat talks about the Constitution, it's going to be laughable. She said, "Let me just say, we take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Democrats take that oath seriously, and we are committed to honoring our oath of office. I'm not sure our Republican colleagues share that commitment, and I'm not sure the President of the United States does." We have seen again and again and again in video coming out of hearings in Washington, D.C., we have seen Democrats on these various committees grilling Republicans and others in complete ignorance of what the Constitution of the United States says about the issues they're exploring. We have watched them time and time again being completely and totally unaware of what the Constitution says. They're completely ignorant of the law. They have no idea where they're coming from or what they're talking about. They just know the questions that have been put on paper in front of them by their team, and they're posturing for the TV cameras. And often, they get it wrong. They know about their procedures. They know about reclaiming their time. They know about all of these things, the little rules of how things operate, and they play them to their advantage. But when it comes to understanding the original intent of the Constitution as laid out by our founders for the protection of the people of the United States from its government, They are completely and totally ignorant. Now, at the same time, Pelosi's trying to ease the pressure from members of her caucus to move on impeachment imminently. She held a closed-door meeting with Democrats earlier yesterday morning to discuss their battles with the administration that threatened to escalate into a politically risky drive to remove Trump from office. Pelosi has maintained her position that Democrats should not begin impeachment proceedings against Trump, but has faced pressure from members inside her caucus to reverse her course, especially after former White House counsel Don McGahn was told to defy a subpoena earlier this week. She told reporters after her session with her caucus, "We had a very productive meeting. It was a respectful sharing of ideas. We do believe it is important to follow the facts. We believe that no one is above the law, including the President of the United States, and we believe that the President of the United States is engaged in a cover-up." A cover-up. And that was the nature of the meeting. You notice that she stopped on the phrase, a cover-up, and she repeated it. She repeated that phrase for emphasis. Here's why. That caucus meeting was about how to frame their next push. That's what the caucus meeting was about. The caucus meeting was about how to present what they do from here forward until they change course again. Remember, it was Russia, Russia, Russia. Remember? It was collusion. Remember? It was obstruction. You remember? Mueller couldn't find any of that to be true. They continued with obstruction. They pushed it hard. They realize it's not working. So they have to come up with terminology that is more severe. The words cover-up are what they settled on. That's why she said, engaged in a cover-up. A cover-up. She emphasized those words because those are the talking point words they will be using henceforth. All the talking heads on the news programs are now using the words cover-up because the talking points have been issued, and that was the subject of the caucus meeting. Yes, it was a very productive meeting, and among themselves, they were very respectful in sharing their ideas on how to demonize and destroy the President of the United States. And they chose the term cover-up. A cover-up. You have to understand how these people think and how they operate. To understand the serpent, you must think like the serpent. And that's what these people are doing. Tensions between... Well, she was asked about her success in persuading members, and she said, "It's not a question of persuasion. We're just exchanging information and points of view." Dodge? Tensions between Democratic leadership and Trump continue to build. Shortly after that meeting, Trump walked out of a meeting with Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, where they meant to discuss that infrastructure plan we talked about before. He complained about Pelosi's cover-up charge and demanded the Democrats end their phony investigations. She had this meeting. She stood in front of the press. She used the key phrase that they came up with, cover-up, and the president, at that point, said, "That's it. That's enough. We're done here." He responded to her remarks in an impromptu news conference in the Rose Garden at the White House. He told the reporters, "I don't do cover-ups." He abruptly ended the infrastructure talks shortly before his news conference, where he told reporters he had hoped to have a productive meeting with Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. He said, "So I came here to do a meeting on infrastructure with Democrats, not really thinking they wanted to do infrastructure or anything other than investigate. I just saw that Nancy Pelosi, just before our meeting, made a statement that we believe the President of the United States is involved in a cover-up. Well, it turns out I'm the most, and I think most of you would agree to this, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of the country. And instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk in to look at people that had just said I was doing a cover-up. I don't do cover-ups." Trump said there was nothing to discuss until Democrats get these phony investigations over with. And he also said the crime. Hey, he called the 2.5 years of investigation a takedown attempt of the President of the United States, and that actually the crime was committed on the other side. That is an accurate statement. It's a very accurate statement. The Inspector General is doing an investigation right now. And that investigation is producing fruit. Things are being discovered. And the Democrats are nervous about their being exposed. And that's why they came up with the cover-up plan. It's all a distraction. Do not be deceived. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Have you been over to look at the website yet? Yeah. It's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Take a look at it today. That's where you need to go to sign up for the newsletter. That's where you can send me messages. That's everything is all right there. Yeah, you can do it through the Mark and Mac Show Facebook page or through the Daily Perspective Facebook page. Either one of those, it gets to me as well. But the website also gives you the ability to sign up for the newsletter, which we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So check that out today. Go by and take a look at it and drop me a line and let me know you were there. It's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Yeah, I stole that. Let's get back to what happened yesterday. The president reminded, let's back up a bit. In this article, the first article I was referring to, I read you all that stuff from foxnews.com, and then from The Blaze, this is coming, that I was talking about what Trump said as he walked into his Rose Garden meeting, the press conference there. The New York Times White House correspondent Katie Rogers reported that the president refused to shake hands with anybody when they entered the room and said he will not work with Democrats until they end their investigations. She said, per a person familiar with what happened in the room before his Rose Garden presser, POTUS did not sit down or shake anyone's hands. That's what Rogers wrote. She went on to say, he told the Dems, once your investigation is done, we can talk about these things. And then he left the room before anyone else could speak. Now, I got to be honest with you. The left is going to play this very negatively. But I think it is the only reasonable thing he can do. He walks into a room with people, one in specific who has just told the world that he is involved in a cover-up, a criminal operation. She has stood before news cameras and used their term, their phrase, their current hot-button phrase, cover-up, and she reinforced it. Remember, she said a cover-up, a cover-up. Those two words were produced in the meetings that she just came out of, and she had to use them right there. That is their latest genius move. So, he's not an idiot. This is a man. Let's not forget this, okay? They're painting him like he's an idiot. They're painting him like he's a criminal. They're painting him actually like he's one of them. But this is a guy who is a multi-billionaire. And he didn't get to be a multi-billionaire by being stupid. He knows people. He knows how to read people. He can predict what they're going to do because he's had to deal with a lot of people in his business life. He's dealt with criminals in city and state government before. He knows them for what they are. He has dealt with these criminals in national government before. He knows them for what they are. He knows how they operate. He knows their methods. He knows how they think. And he's always at least two steps ahead of them. At least. So he knows that what he has to do is to walk into this meeting, make one statement, and walk out. Because at this point in time, this negotiator, this guy who knows how to make deals, he knows who he's dealing with, and he knows what his next steps, multiple steps, will be because he knows what their steps will be. This is not his first rodeo. And they keep thinking about him like he's inexperienced and he's some sort of an idiot. Well, this guy's thinking circles around them. He's using everything to his advantage. The news media, Twitter, everything. He's using it to his advantage. And he's using them to his advantage. Because the more he pushes back against them, the more obvious it is to the American people, to rational, reasonable, honest. Those, you have to remember, honesty is the key. People who are honest about life and honest with themselves, they see what the Democrats actually are. They watched the Kavanaugh hearings, and they saw what the Democrats were up to, and they didn't like it. And they've been watching the Mueller report progress, and they didn't like what they saw. And now, he's letting the Democrats expose themselves yet again. And walking out of this meeting is just one more step in doing that. He's made it very clear that this entire investigation was a sham. A sham. He reminded reporters again that the Robert Mueller report had concluded that he had not colluded with Russia during the 2016 presidential campaign. Quote, "We've had investigations like nobody has seen before. They were out to get us. There is no collusion. No collusion with Russia." Trump said Democrats were disappointed that the investigation that cost more than $35 million cleared him of the accusations. He called the 2.5 years of investigations a takedown attempt of the President of the United States. "Actually, the crime was committed on the other side," he said. And he's completely and totally correct about it. Totally correct. Now, of course, Pelosi and Schumer quickly responded to Trump's impromptu news conference with their own news conference, tit for tat. She told reporters that Democrats wanted to work with Trump on infrastructure. She lied. A bald-faced, cold lie. And she also said these words. In any event, I pray for the President of the United States, and I pray for the United States of America. Let me read that again. In any event, I pray for the President of the United States, and I pray for the United States of America. Coming from one of the leaders of the Democrat Party, the party that refuses to protect innocent children from infanticide, the party that pushes the murder of innocent children up until the moment of birth, the party that booed God at their convention, prays for the President of the United States. As I said on social media yesterday, that's pretty rich. That's a big one. But that is an example of how these people are. They believe that if they say they pray for these people, that their followers will believe that they are righteous and holy in their pursuit of destroying the President of the United States. And what's sad about that is you and I both know people who fall right into that description. They actually believe that the Democrats are doing God's work by eliminating this horrible person from the Oval Office. The people who need prayer are those people because they are deeply self-deluded. This is all about pushing towards impeachment without saying the word. The calls for impeachment keep growing from members of the Democrat Party, and President Donald Trump took aim at them on Twitter. He blasted them for doing nothing in Congress while focusing on disproving the Mueller report into Russian election interference. Early yesterday morning, Trump, in his trademark style, published a pair of tweets claiming that everything the Democrats are asking for in their subpoena fight for the unredacted version of Mueller's report was based on an illegally started investigation that didn't work out for them in the end. He continued to torch the Democrats for calling for his impeachment while they fish for evidence against him when he did nothing wrong. Quote, "Everything the Democrats are asking me for is based on an illegally started investigation that failed for them, especially when the Mueller report came back with a no collusion finding. Now they say impeach President Trump, even though he did nothing wrong, while they fish." He published a second tweet just minutes later, continuing his attack on congressional Democrats, accusing them of doing nothing in Congress and instead focusing on disproving Mueller's report. He said the Democrats are getting zero work done in Congress. All they are focused on is trying to prove the Mueller report wrong. The witch hunt. The president's tweets come as House Democrats and Michigan Representative Justin Amash ramp up their impeachment calls. Now, as has been previously reported, the self-described Democratic Socialist, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, demanded an impeachment inquiry into the president, claiming that lawmakers have been given no choice in the matter. Her calls put her at odds with the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who has advocated for further investigations into the Trump administration rather than pulling the trigger on impeachment. Pelosi, of course, met with Democrat lawmakers yesterday. They discussed a multitude of issues, possibly including impeachment and subpoenas. I don't think they did. I think they have already agreed on the path that they're taking. I think yesterday they met on exactly how to phrase things, what their talking points would be, and how they would feed the media, the news media, their pets, how they would feed their pets the information they want passed along to the American public. And they came up with two words: cover up. Nothing else has worked so far. So now the president's involved in a cover up. The president's right. These people are criminals. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here with you. You're sometimes a humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I got to tell you something, the absurdity is pretty thick this morning, coming from the Democrats. And if you are an honest person, a rational, reasonable, honest person, then you realize how absurd these people really are being. And you see the truth of what it is, that the Democrats lost in 2016. They bet the farm on the 2016 election. They were absolutely certain, just dead certain, that they were going to be able to continue the reign of Barack Hussein Obama through Hillary Rodham Clinton. And when they didn't succeed, they went nuts. Now, they did the same thing after George W. Bush was elected. Not to this extreme, but they did the same thing. They went crazy. And there was so much hate for Bush. You remember hanging chads? You remember he was selected, not elected? You remember all of that stuff? If you're old enough to remember that election, you know that they did this same kind of disinformation campaign after that election. But that was just like striking a match compared to a forest fire when you compare it to what they're doing now. Right now, they are using every trick in the book to try to outwit and destroy Donald Trump. And the sad thing is that so many in our society have been educated by the liberal process in our school systems that they don't know what's true and what isn't. they don't know what the law says, and they just don't know what's going on. And it's a serious, serious problem. The president can't do anything, say anything, or touch anything without them branding it as being evil in some way, shape, or form. And yesterday, during during what can only be called an interrogation, Representative Lauren Underwood, a Democrat, accused one of Trump's appointees of an intentional policy designed to allow children to die at the border. She accused the acting Homeland Security Secretary of this. That, of course, sparked an outcry from Republicans. They demanded the lawmaker be punished for the accusation. She was given a chance to recant, and she doubled down on her remarks. She's a congresswoman from Illinois. She said this to Acting Secretary Kevin McLeanan during a House Homeland Security Committee hearing. Quote, "People keep dying, and so this is obviously a question of more than resources. It's intentional. It's a policy choice being made by this administration." Furious Republicans rightfully said she'd gone too far. Representative Mike Rogers from Alabama, Republican, said you cannot impugn the character of the witness by stating he intentionally murders children. He demanded that her words be taken down. That's a procedure for branding someone's language as out of bounds. Democrats resisted. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson said he thought the congresswoman's sentiments were appropriate. Thompson tried to shut the punishment down, but the Republicans demanded a vote, as they should have, and because they had more members present, they won 9-7. Representative Underwood began her 5 minutes of questions to Mr. McLeanan in an antagonistic way, repeatedly demanding to know if he was aware of the psychological consequences of separating children from families. She said it was equivalent to beatings. The acting secretary said he'd read the literature, but he said Homeland Security does not have a policy of separating children. She then pointed to children who either made the treacherous journey on their own or were brought by parents to the U.S. and who died here after the crossing. She put their blood on Mr. McLeanan's hands. Quote, "At this point, with 5 children dead and 5,000 separated from their families, it's intentional. It's a policy choice being made by this administration." Mr. McLeanan, rightfully, was outraged. He said, "That's an appalling accusation." He said Homeland Security asked for money weeks ago, and Congress has yet to pony up. He also said the administration has pleaded for years to change the law, to stop the incentives that draw the families and children northward. Democratic leaders have said they won't act on those changes. Tennessee Republican Mark Green was present for Ms. Underwood's accusation and said it was an insult to Mr. McLeanan, who was so disturbed by the 2001 terrorist attack that he applied on September 12th, the day after, to join the FBI and ended up eventually at Homeland Security. Mr. Green said this is a sad day for America and the Democrat Party. But Ms. Underwood got backing from immigrant rights advocates who said they draw the same conclusion, that the Trump administration is intentionally endangering children. The Interfaith Immigration Coalition called Mr. McLeanan's anger pure theater and an attempt to distract from tough questions. Katie Adams, co-chair of the Interfaith Immigration Coalition, said, "We grieve with the families who have lost their children and demand acknowledgement, accountability, and justice for these young lives lost, as well as a different approach at the border that treats asylum-seeking families with dignity and humanity." Wow. Theater, huh? Pure theater. I'll tell you what's theater. What's theater is Representative Lauren Underwood's performance. that's theater. What's real is Secretary McClennan's response. Representative Underwood is involved in theatrics for the purpose of destroying the President of the United States and anyone and everything associated with him. That is the Democrat plan. What they don't tell you, there are many things they don't, but here are two things. One, the policies in place of separating children were put in place under the Obama administration. It was their messiah, Barack Hussein Obama, who instituted the separation of children. It was their messiah who organized all this stuff. And two, for the duration of the Trump presidency, Congress has been asked again and again and again to approve changes. They've refused. They've been asked again and again and again to provide funding to improve conditions. They have refused. Everything happening at the border that's costing these young people their lives is on the heads of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is playing games with human lives. And they're hoping to blame the deaths on the president. The Democrat Party is refusing to move in any way, shape, or form on border policy. And as a result, we have disease, we have sickness, we have horrible conditions at the border. And on top of that, we have thousands of people every day being released into America who will never go back for their court dates. They'll never go back to complete the asylum process because they never intended to. The cold, hard statistics tell us that 80% of those people who are being flown or bused to cities across America will never return to stand before the judge to complete their asylum claim. It will never happen. Only 20% of them will. And only a small percentage of them will succeed. Those that don't go back because they know they're lying about asylum. And most of those who do go back are also lying about asylum and won't succeed. They've been coached. They've been given information. They've gone to YouTube and watched instructional videos on how to come to the United States and disappear into the woodwork. And when they get here, they find some place to live, they find some place to work, and they send as much money back to where they came from as possible to pay for more people to come and do the same thing. And this is all happening because there are gaping holes in our policies. And those gaping holes are there because of Democrat policies enacted under the Obama administration and before. And there is reason behind all of this. It's an old philosophy. And that philosophy is that you overburden a system until it collapses. And then leftists can come in and rebuild the system according to their rules. This is nothing more than the fulfillment of Cloward and Piven's approach on collapsing the foundation of America. And they're doing it bit by bit. So the Democrats are to blame for everything that's wrong at the border. And they have to distract from that. And Ms. Underwood's statements are just one more example of how low they'll go. Good morning and welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Well, it's been kind of a heavy show today. And rightfully so, I think, because there's some heavy things happening in our government. And we have people who are, like I said, to people who are rational, reasonable, and honest, when we examine what's happening, we see just how vile these people really are. You take, for example, that last example, that last story. It's just, wow. It's just crazy. Just crazy. The lengths that these people will go to, how low they will stoop. It's just a, it's mind-boggling is what it is. It's mind-boggling. Absolutely. So today, you need to get signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. I keep saying this every day, and it's because there's stuff that you're going to get that's not in the show that I had stacked up. I actually just pulled one from low in the stack up to now because I want to run this for you now before we go along. And normally, I really don't often do that, but there are other stories that you're not going to get today. And some of them are fun, some of them are not, but you still need the information. And to get that, you need to be subscribing to the Daily Perspective newsletter. And the way to do that is to go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Yeah, I stole that. dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And look in the right-hand column of the page. There's a sign-up form right there. Fill it out. Answer yes to the email you get. And before long, you'll start getting the Daily Perspective newsletter coming to your inbox. It's full of good information. It's the links to the stories and some of the notes that I make about the stories each day on the show and the material that I really wanted to get to and just don't. Now, sometimes, to be fair, sometimes that stuff will get turned over to the next day because it's still very relevant and it needs to be talked about. But other times it just doesn't. It gets bumped back down to the bottom of the list again. So go there today. Get signed up. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Yeah, I stole that. And sign up today to get your hands on the Daily Perspective newsletter. There was something that I shared on social media yesterday, and I know not all of you who are listening follow social media. And there are two accounts. There's the Mark and Max Show account, and then there's also the Daily Perspective account, both of them on social media. And I use an app called Hootsuite and send what I send out, usually send it both places. So either way, you get it. Now, as we move forward in time, that's going to slowly change to where I start moving more of this information over to the Daily Perspective side so that it stands completely on its own. I need you to be aware of that because at some point, this particular Facebook Live podcast will also move completely over and be on the Daily Perspective side of things. So if you're listening Facebook Live, hey, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be moving from the Mark and Max Show Facebook page over to the Daily Perspective page and let it stand there. And there are reasons for that. They'll become clear at a later time. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about and shared yesterday on social media and didn't think I was going to have time for today, I now think I really do need to talk about. And it goes back to what we've been talking about for the past several days. It goes back to abortion and when life begins. Yesterday, I shared a video from Live Action with Tara Sander Lee. She's a molecular geneticist with the Charlotte Lozier Institute. She is a scientist. She knows what she's talking about. And the title of the video is The Pro-Life Reply to No One Knows When Life Begins. Well, apparently, yes, we do. We know when life begins. And we're lying to ourselves by saying we don't. And Dr. Tara Sander Lee is about to tell you.
Do we really know when life begins? Some people think that it is a complete mystery, and therefore abortion should be allowed. They reason that a fetus is not a person or is somehow not a real human being or is just a potential life while in the mother's womb. But there are two problems with this kind of reasoning. First, even if it were true that we did not know when life had begun in the womb, that would be an argument against abortion. Imagine you go hunting with a friend and the two of you become separated. You see some rustling in the bushes ahead, but you don't know if it's a deer or your friend. Would you shoot? That would be criminally reckless if you did, because there's a chance that behind that bush is a human life. In the same way, if there is a possibility that there is a human life in the womb, it would be reckless to kill that life. But that's where we find the second flaw in this reasoning. It's not merely possible that a human life has begun in the womb. It is a scientific certainty that life begins at fertilization. At the moment a sperm fuses with an egg, known as fertilization or conception, a new unique human being that is genetically distinct from both parents comes into existence. Gender, ethnicity, hair color, eye color, and countless other traits are determined at that moment. This genetic blueprint remains the same for his or her entire life. After conception, a developing baby grows at an extremely rapid pace, especially within the first trimester. The baby's heart begins to beat in the sixth week of pregnancy, which is only a little over 3 weeks from the moment of conception. A new study found that the first heartbeat may occur even sooner, as early as the fifth week, which is about the same time a mother discovers she is pregnant. The baby's lungs and digestive system are also forming. At 8 weeks, human brain activity can be recorded. In fact, the human brain will continue to develop and mature even after birth and well into the person's 20s. At 12 weeks, the tiny child can swallow, scrunch hands into little fists, touch his or her face, and scratch his or her head. The baby's fingers and toes are also complete with nails. Fingerprints are developing by 14 weeks. At 18 weeks, the baby's ears can even hear music and recognize their mother's voice. Between 18 and 30 weeks, doctors can treat preborn babies while still inside the womb with life-saving therapies and repair significant defects for certain diseases. And at 22 weeks, or even sooner, it is possible for babies to be born and survive outside the womb. It is also a fact that preborn children exhibit behaviors that we do on a daily basis. They smile, feel pain, cough, yawn, hiccup, respond to sound and light, sleep, and possibly even dream. Some researchers have even shown that babies may cry while in the womb. So referring to the preborn child as a zygote, blastocyst, embryo, or fetus at different stages of development does nothing to lessen his or her humanity. Those are just ways of referring to age, no different from the terms infant, toddler, adolescent, or adult. It is also false for some to call the preborn child a parasite or consider him or her as nothing more than a blob-like sea cucumber. First, parasites are different in species from their host, and if a fetus were a parasite, then the mother's immune system would attack it. Instead, the mother's body undergoes dramatic changes to specifically provide nourishment and nutrients to her child. Even pro-choice atheist philosopher Peter Singer admits that there is no doubt that from the first moments of its existence, an embryo conceived from human sperm and egg is a human being. And there are thousands of biology and embryology textbooks, modern DNA studies, medical dictionaries, science professors, and medical researchers that all confirm that life begins at fertilization. And every mother, like me, that has experienced pregnancy knows that with every kick and movement the baby makes, life is blooming for the child growing inside. So when does life begin? It is a scientific certainty that human life begins at the moment of conception. Therefore, every abortion kills an innocent human being. To suggest otherwise is to ignore the scientific facts and miss the miracle of life.
And there you have the facts. And that is that. Scientifically speaking,
do we really know when life begins?
Scientifically speaking, the case is closed. The question is answered. This is a settled matter. Scientifically. Medically, scientifically, life begins at conception. And regardless of the terminology used to describe what is developing, it is still a human life. It is a person. A person. And so the pro-abortion crowd is denying the personhood of what is growing within the mother. If you've paid attention to the news, you've seen the pictures, you've watched the videos, You've seen the signs that they carried in Washington, D.C. in front of the Supreme Court the other day. It's not a baby. It's not a baby. They keep saying that because in order to justify what they're doing, they have to remove the personhood. Otherwise, they're committing murder because they're destroying the life of a person, which is exactly what they're doing. As I said the other day, even though we pass restrictive laws, abortion will continue because what causes abortion is a heart issue, and that's what we need to address. And that's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.